Good evening. You get my dad this morning and you get me, so we're going to talk the exact same way, I'm guessing. We'd like to welcome any of you that weren't here this morning to Watermill. We're happy to be here again tonight, and we're really looking forward to the service that we have prepared for you all. Tonight's service is a little different than normal. All of the young men that are going to be presenting, all of us are probably between 18 and 25, so we're all college aged, and we have a theme tonight that we're going to talk about children, and we're going to have people, we're going to have Briley Ewing leading our singing, we're going to have Hayden Brill and Tim Wood bring us two devotional thoughts. We're going to have scripture readings from Sawyer Murphy and Jonathan Pendergraf, and then prayers following those scripture readings from Luke Lines and Josh Luna, and then a closing prayer tonight by Brian Carroll. And, you know, we're talking about kids. You know, I mentioned that we're all young and that we don't have a lot of kids. My kids have four legs, so I thought I'd share one with you so you could see them. There's mine. So I just, you know, I make the slides, so I get to choose what goes in and what doesn't. So that's why it's in there. But anyway, I thought you all would get a kick out of that. But without further ado, we'll begin our worship with Brother Briley.
Song number 809, if you're following along in your songbooks. 809, Jesus Loves the Little Children. I'll sing this through just one time.
Jesus loves little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus died for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus, all the children of the world.
Song number 68, if you could be standing for this song, because He lives.
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day, I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He reigns. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And life is worth the living just because He lives.
Maybe seated.
I'll be reading from Psalms 127, 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate.
Let's pray. Almighty God in heaven, we praise You and lift up Your name tonight. Father, we recognize Your power and Your glory, Father, and how you remain sovereign over the world, untouched by it, Father. God, we recognize the blessing that it is to call You our Father, that You are the God who created the world and everything in it, that You are the completely pure and holy, loving God. And God, just to feel Your presence, just to pray to You, just to be with You in the quiet moments gives us an overwhelming sense of dependency upon You. One Father that we welcome, for we love to be in Your arms, to be comforted by You. Father, we know our role as Your children and what it means. And Father, from reading Your scripture, just seeing how You interact with children, how You hold them, and what You think about them, it reveals to us what You may think about us, God. And we take incredible amounts of comfort from that. God, to know that You view us as something to be dealt with gently, and something to be people to be led up and guided, Father, by Your hand in the gentle way that You do so. Father, we are delighted and we are excited for the life that we live, that we get to live as Your children, and what that means for us to live and to grow every day in Your wisdom, as we grew in the wisdom of our parents, Father, and as we intend to grow and build up our children of this congregation and the wisdom of the members of this congregation. God, we walk in Your ways. And we love You for that, and we thank You for allowing us to be Your children. Father, help us to take on that childlike innocence, to strive to be, in Your eyes, something that is pure and good. Help us not to look at ourselves. Help us to have humility. Give us that self-forgetfulness that comes with that. Father, reveal Yourself to us and continue to show us who You are, so that we can continue to realize our dependency upon You, and that we can continue to be lost in You. And we love You so much, Father, and we pray all of this in Your Son's name. Amen.
If you're using your psalm books, the song after my portion of the lesson will be song number 186, if you're using your book. To give you a little background about me, my name is Hayden Brill. I'm one of the house dads at Fairhaven. Some of you know me, some of you don't. I'm a new face here. My dad came and spoke about 2 weeks after we moved here, and everybody was like, oh, he was so great. And then I was like, well, I hope I don't mess it up now. My name is Hayden Brill. We're originally from Tulsa. We moved here in July. My mom is watching on the Facebook live feed. Hi, Mom. And one of the things that growing up, my mom always made me say to her before I leave the house is, don't make Mama cry. Well, Mama, I'm probably going to make you cry. I'm talking about the blessings of children. Now, one of the first memories of children that I have is holding my little brother after he was born. He's 9 years younger than me. He was the first baby I got to hold. And I think that's kind of special that my little brother is the first child that I got to hold. I still remember the pride in feeling that this is my little brother, and having people show me, hey, you have to support his head. You have to hold him a certain way. I had actually just got done with a baseball game that we won, and so I was on kind of a high about that. And I still vividly remember holding my little brother and the pride that brought me. Even though he wasn't mine, he was my little brother, and my mom told me I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for a little brother, and finally got it. But he has been such a blessing, and children are a blessing in our lives. And I think we take them for granted sometimes, especially in today's society. A lot of people take children for granted. In society today, it's okay to go out and have an abortion, to go out and discard this child like it's a problem, like they're a nuisance, an inconvenience. And that's really not the case. Children are a blessing given to us by God. And while me and my wife, we don't have our own kids yet, I have three absolutely amazing kids that are living with me. And they are a blessing to me, even though they are not mine. They are an absolute blessing. And I love them, and I tell them that every night. Even though they're not mine, children are a blessing. Whether they be in the auditorium screaming their head off while Bill is giving a lesson, be thankful for it. It's better than having silence. When teens get back and they're dead tired from a trip to Central Arkansas and they're cranky and they're whiny and they're smelly, be thankful for it. Because the church is growing and the church is alive. What I want to talk about is Psalms 27, verses 3 through 5. And I'll read it again. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in his gate. The latter portion of verse 3 says that the fruit of the womb is a blessing. And it is. It's an amazing blessing. But not every family has that blessing. Me and my wife haven't been blessed with our own child yet. And I still pray that one day God give us a child. And one day he will, whether that be biological or adoptive or in some other way. But I think what this verse is talking about it's that children are a blessing, but so are everything else that we have. And God is connecting that. He's showing us, hey, I'm giving you this gift, this reward. It says, the fruit of the womb is a reward. And I think the translation here was a little off. It's better off a gift, a reward, or a gift. Just like my wife talked or mentioned this whenever she was reading my notes. It's like a gift that we are given, like a house or a vehicle or something precious to us. If we lost our house or we lost a vehicle or we lost something that was very precious to us, it would hurt us tremendously. And I think a child is more so than a house. But there are so many other ways that we are blessed, and we don't recognize, I think, about 90% of the things that we are blessed with, especially in this country. We're blessed beyond we can even comprehend. We have amazing food here in the States. We have freedom of religion to practice. We have health. We have security. We have a nice building to come and worship in. Whereas in most of the world, they don't have that. I know there are several people that don't have a nice house or a nice building to come and worship God in, but they are worshiping with all their heart, and that is a blessing. And I think we take those blessings for granted a lot of times. Looking at verse 4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. This is kind of getting into something that's a little bit far-fetched from us. I didn't grow up where my parents depended on me for supporting the family, for bringing something to the family growing up. I wasn't required to have a job. I wasn't required to go and do work. I wasn't required to bring income into the family. But some of you in this auditorium probably were, as a child, told, you need to drop out of school and go get a job. I know my grandfather was doing that. He had to drop out of school and go get a job and start working. And before my grandmother would marry him, she told him that he had to get his GED and get his degree or his diploma before they would marry, because he had to drop out and help take care of his family. And my other grandfather went to war to defend his family and to provide security for our country and for his family. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Back in biblical times, they had to use their children to help work in the fields or to guard against different enemies. We look at David and Goliath. David was the youngest of the sons of Jesse. He was out in the field taking care of the herd. And he wasn't at the battle, but he went to check on his brothers. And then it happened that he was the one that ended it. He wasn't going to do that. It wasn't in his mind, hey, I'm going to go up to the front line and I'm going to end this whole war. But it happened. Even though we don't have that type of problem today, I think children are a blessing in that way, kind of, because it is nice to have a little hand that will reach in small spaces and get a bolt that you drop down into the motor or something. Or when you're having trouble moving, it's nice to have kids and grandkids to come and help you move. It's nice to have a lot of family to come and help you do something. I went and helped Viral and Karen move, and that was a whole family ordeal. And me and my wife went and helped, and it was like we got bonded in with their family, and that was awesome. And now I still get calls, hey, can you come help us move something? And it's awesome, because it's not that I'm just part of my dad's quiver. I'm now part of their quiver. Children are a blessing, even if they're not your own. Verse 5, I think, is the most interesting to me. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. It took me a few times reading this And it took a few different commentaries for it to finally click with me. I'm going to read it in a way that I think it's supposed to be. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. The Father shall not be put to shame when the Son speaks with the Father's enemies in the gate. The Son is the one doing the speaking at the gate. It would be like if my father, if somebody were to dishonor my father and call him a dishonest man and an ungodly man, you better believe it, I'm going to be there to defend my dad. And I'm going to do it with everything I got to show you that he is a godly man and that he is a righteous man. But I hope that I do it in a way that doesn't bring dishonor to my father at the same time. Just as we are children of Christ and children of God, I hope that we can get up and stand in front of people saying that our God is shameful and that our God is not alive and that our God doesn't care about anything. I hope that we can get up and at the gate stand ready to say, no, you're wrong. Our God is alive. Our God does care. Because we are children of God, and I hope that we can do it in a way that doesn't bring shame to the Christian name. I'm very proud to carry the name Brill, but I am more proud to carry the name Christian. That is the most important thing to me. And I hope that I can always show God and never bring shame to God when I'm trying to defend him. So, we should see children as a blessing, as a gift, but also sometimes as a tool. Because while they are a gift, we are supposed to raise them and bring them up in a way that is Christ-like, and to show them what Christ is and who Christ is and God's way, and lead them to the faith. It's a reward and a blessing to be able to raise children and to show them and to bring them to Christ. We'll now have Briley's song. Thank you.
God give us Christian homes, homes where the Bible is loved and taught, homes where the Master's will is sought, homes crowned with beauty thy love hath wrought. God give us Christian homes, God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes, homes where the children are led to know Christ in his beauty who loves them so. Homes where the altar fires burn and glow. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes.
Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But Jesus said that he saw that it was... He saw there was much displease upon them, and said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such are the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up into his arms, and he put his hands on them, and blessed them.
Let's pray. Father and Creator, we come for you tonight, Lord, in order to honor you as our Father and identify you as our Father and us as children, Lord. From the biggest to the small, from the oldest to the young, Lord, in your eyes we are all but children. We are all small, we are all unknowing, we are all ignorant of what we do at times, Lord. And what we ask is that you forgive us of those times like you would a child, like you would somebody who does not know any better, Lord. And we ask that those blessings be poured out among us. We ask, Father, that you guide us like you would guide a child, Lord, and help us to have that faith that a son has in the Father, Lord, and that a child has in those that are older. And please, Lord, help us to have that faith and that knowledge and trust of those that know better and realize our own shortcomings, Father. You're the creator of Adam and Eve, Lord, all the way down to Isaac and Abraham, and we can trace it back, Lord. We know that you are a Father, not only through the heavenly sins, but through giving your Son, who died for us, of the ultimate sacrifice, Lord. It's through him that we pray. Amen.
Hello. I want to first off say the song that's going to be following the lesson is going to be number 622. 622. I want to tell you a short little thing that happened recently to me. My oldest daughter, Tara, who's a little older than three now, we were recently at the doctor's office getting an ultrasound for our child that's on the way. And Jennifer was in getting checked by the doctor, and Tara just sat there for a moment and just stared at me. And then she looked at me, and she just had this look of just complete adoration. And she's like, "I love you, Daddy." And it was one of the greatest feelings to me. Because for a kid of that age to say it on their own fruition is crazy. I love her so much, and I make it a note to tell her every day as much as I possibly can how much I care about her. And I try to spend as much time with her as I possibly can. And because of that, she loves me as well. No pushing her to say it. She just knows that she cares about me because I care about her. Jesus, with the children here in Mark, the apostles almost seemed as though they thought of the children, like Hayden said, as being nuisances. All these children running up, no, get them away. But here's the thing, is those parents, they may not have fully understood what was going on at the moment, but they knew that those children needed to be blessed by Christ, that they needed to be closer to him, so they sent them there. And Christ wanted them with him. And so he called them to him so that they may be closer to God. Many of us here have had the blessing of having parents who encouraged us to follow Christ. And many of us here have not. And it's a very difficult path, and we often find ourselves being in the position of children at the very beginning of our faith. And we are such children, learning about Christ and becoming God's children. And we have such zeal, like a child, and we want to have that love that God offers to us. I want to say that some friends of mine are missionaries in Russia. And one of the things that's going on right now in Russia is that they have a dwindling population in certain areas because it's very much frowned upon to have children because they are seen as nuisances. And it is such a shame because they are such a blessing, just as Hayden said. Jesus cared for the children because he knew that they would grow
and he knew what they would become, that they would become children of God. They would grow to teach others and to lead others to him. And they knew, he knew the importance of what he was doing, because it was for them, it was for their souls, and it was for the people long down the road, generations to come. Just like many of us here who've come from generations of others who have made it important for them to follow Christ. Matthew 18, 2 through 6 says, "He called little children to him and placed a child among them. And he said, 'Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes a lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea.'" Christ is showing how important it is for us to have that relationship with our Father, God. For our children to have that relationship with God. The importance of having God in our daily lives is life-threatening. Because if we don't have God, we are lost. Everybody has been a child in their faith at some point. I'll reiterate that. And many of us have had to find our faith. And it can be very hard. Children now haven't made their faith their own. Many of the children here now are not necessarily here because they chose to be here, but because they were brought here by some of you. And so it will be a struggle coming up in the faith, as some of you may know. Some of you who were not here as children, did not know God as children, you struggle just the same. You had to make your faith your own. And the importance of that is incredible. And it amazes me to see the blessings that come from such teaching. All of you are a blessing. To tell you the truth, before we came here, I was a youth minister up in the D.C. Baltimore area. And it was a very interesting place to be, I'll say that. A lot of what goes on nowadays in our culture can be seen in very densely high-populated areas, even in the church. Working with the teens there, it was very interesting. I'll say one thing about Goliath. He was certainly tough. I mean, it takes a strong person to have a one-on-one conversation with a teenager. But it's extremely important for us to have that bond with kids, children, each one of us here. Being with the kids around us is so important for them to have role models to show them how they're going, how they should be when they get older. Biblical times, teens, right now, you guys would be seen as adults. And you would have younger kids looking up to you. You guys have the ability to make decisions for yourselves. And that's very important for them to see what decisions you guys make for yourselves. And at the beginning of being a Christian and being able to make those decisions for ourselves can be scary, and we can make mistakes. But Jesus still wants us to have a relationship with him, because when we become Christians, it's in the name. We're trying to be Christ-like. Being an example is an extremely important thing when it comes to those outside of church. Those outside, they're like children. They don't know much. So getting into arguments with people about your faith may not necessarily encourage them to have a stronger faith.
but being able to raise somebody up and to show them the love that Jesus showed to children will help expand the kingdom. I have another little story. My gracious scripture reader, Jonathan, here, he was over a couple of weeks ago at our house, and he was only there for maybe 20 minutes, and he was playing with Tara. And she could not get enough of playing with him, because she would come over, and he would lift her up and put her back down, and she would keep coming back and back and back, and she just adored it. And you could tell he was exhausted. But he kept doing it until it was time for her to go to bed. And so she went to bed, and the next day, she has her little toy phone. She's talking on the phone, and she's just jabbering. And me and Jennifer were standing there, and we're like, "Who are you talking to, Tara?" And she's like, "I'm talking to Jonathan." Even the smallest children know the importance of the people that are around them, that spend time with them. They care about them. They are their role models. And Jonathan is a great role model, by the way. I love him. He's cool. But the fact of the matter is that we do need to be around children. We need to be the role models that we need to be, even if we don't necessarily like children. I've had people give an excuse, I don't want to help out because I don't do children. Well, Christ calls you to help everyone, doesn't matter what age they are. I've had somebody say, "You can give me anything else in the church, but I cannot do children." But if we can't show children how to be more like Christ, are we being more like Christ? A lot of times we ask of our children too much, too. We ask them to be more like Christ. We ask them to do more. And I know a lot of times teenagers are asked, or they're told, "We need you guys to do more than just what you're doing." But having been a minister, I could also see many other people not doing near as much as the teenagers are, and still asking so much of them. In order for our kids and our young adults to be more like Christ, we need to be the example and to keep up with them. Be just as enthusiastic. Be like children. Be ready to go when God calls us to do his work, to be more like Christ. Children need God just as much as we do. And if we don't introduce them, they may never know him. And if you haven't followed Christ tonight, and you wish to, and you wish to come forward and to learn more about God, and to be that child, and to learn, and to be more like Christ, I ask you to come forward now as we stand and we sing.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sing as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious,
sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Do we have any more now? Okay, you may be seated.
Thanks a lot, guys, for putting our service together this evening. It was really good. It was real good. Appreciate so much the thoughts that you guys brought to us tonight and in your lessons. You know, one of the things in the Sticky Faith study that we did, one of the things that we learned in that study was the importance of the role that parents play in the spiritual development of their children. And in fact, most teenagers would tell you that the most important influence in their spiritual life is their parents. And we are blessed here at Watermill to have young parents who are very much interested in bringing their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we're so thankful for you guys. We want to continue to encourage you. And by the way, if you were listening to the lesson, you may not be a parent of young children, but you still have a role to play in the spiritual growth of those kids. And so, you know, that's one of the purposes behind our Ties That Bind program. Hopefully everybody's still keeping up with that and is continuing to develop those relationships with the young people that you were assigned. You know, it's been a good day for us today. I'd like to thank everyone who participated in the feeding the homeless and the underprivileged. My understanding is that went very well. Also, our ladies had a great afternoon with the hospitality. It was a great time of fellowship and encouragement. There was a lot of noise coming out of there, ladies. I could hear y'all, and guys were carrying on pretty good. But thanks so much to each of the ladies who helped put that event together. And also, our young people did make it home safely from the Youth Outreach University event down in Conway, Arkansas. They got back this afternoon. We had 17, maybe 18 kids, if you count Jason, and also Laura and Mercedes, who attended that event. Jason and Laura and Mercedes, thank you for being the grown-ups on that trip. But Jason reported that there were over 1,000 in attendance for their worship service this morning. So it would have been awesome to hear the singing in a congregation of 1,000. But Gene wanted me to tell everybody that there is extra bread available out there tonight, so you can take two handfuls instead of one this week. Please continue to remember Bob Snyder and Debbie Rattery and all the others that are also mentioned in the bulletin who are dealing with health issues right now. Thank you so much to each one of you for being here tonight. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday at 6:30 for our midweek Bible study. We're going to stand Did you have something you need to say? All right. I'll say one more thing then. We're going to stand for a closing song, and at that time, if you have not had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, please dismiss yourself to the back. At that time, you will be directed to a room where that will be available to you at that time. I believe Aaron has one more announcement.
It has been a great day overall, for sure. Well, I just wanted to reiterate the thank you to everyone who participated in providing the materials, cooking, serving today for the feeding of the homeless. Really appreciate it. A couple of unsung heroes, Teresa Mahan does so much every time we do this in the back, getting everything ready. Thank you to her. And thank you to everyone who donated the materials. Shirlane Horton, thank you. She made 90 handmade scarves from the yarn that you provided. So thanks to everyone who participated.
Stand and sing this last song and for the closing prayer to follow. I know we don't have 1,000 people here, but if everybody sang with like power of 9 or 10 people, that's right there. So I ask everybody to sing out on this song. Song number 810, Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves the children, children far away or near. They are safe when in his care, every day and everywhere. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and wholly thine. Thou hast bled and died for me, I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for another Lord's Day to come and meet with brothers and sisters of like faith and to worship you today, Lord. And Father, I pray that you please be with us through the rest of this week. Help us to be lights and shining examples to all those who we come in contact with, Lord. And Father, I thank you so much for everything you've blessed us with. And Lord, I ask you forgive us when we do fall short. It's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.